Anybody noticed what's missing from the manger up here?
Jesus.
He's almost there.
Mm-hmm.
He's almost there. I figured, you know, that song was, we're almost there. We're almost done. We're almost somewhere, aren't we? We're almost somewhere. Romans 5 helps us a little bit to understand this thing called love. You know, I was kind of joking this morning, I kind of love donuts. But I don't love donuts like God loves me. Two different kinds of love. You know, we have the English language is handicapped in its expression of love, because love can mean so many different things. You know, we really do like some things. We really do like some things. And we use the word love. And God's love is so different than our love. One of the characteristics of God's love that we really do not possess as human beings is a term called unconditional. Because generally, when we express our love for something, we expect something back. And that's not the way it is. And so we have to sort of unpack this a little bit. Well, what is God's love? And Romans tells us God demonstrates his own love for us in this. While we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Now, it's a simple statement. We've probably heard it a lot, haven't we? Some of us even know it. It's part of the Roman road, right? Who initiated love? See, these things are important. We didn't initiate it. God did. God showed his own love for us. That while we were, and it uses the term sinners, while we behaved in a way that was contrary to what God wanted for us, while we went against God, some would even go, while we were anti-Christ, God loved us. It's hard for us as human beings to grasp that we could love somebody in spite of what they're doing, in spite of how they're behaving, in spite of what they're saying. But when we start to unpack this love that God has for us, we have to understand that first, God is the origin. Love didn't start with us, it started with God. And it cost something. Unconditional love always costs something. Okay, and if think about this, and this is, think about the times you've tried to love somebody, and you've tried not to have any strings attached. You tried to just do it. Just send it out there. I can tell you there's a private angst that goes on between your head and your heart and in your life, desiring for a response. Desiring for that person that you showed unconditional love to, quote unquote unconditional love to respond in a way that you would like them to respond. Because that's how we're wired as human beings. But what this says is God didn't care how we responded. He did it anyway. So when we start, that's a hard concept for us to gather. It says, what does it take to lay down your life? And that's the key to unconditional love. Is that we can't value our life above that love. But we do, don't we? You know, Corey shared this morning, how hard is it when you know you're going to die to hand your life jacket to somebody else? How hard is it? And is it even harder when you know they're not going to appreciate it? All right. How many of those kids did you pile into the lifeboats? They had no idea what you were doing for them until later. Right? Think about God's love for us. We have no idea what he's doing for us until we look back and we say, wow, look what he did for me. And so when we talk about laying down our life, we talk about valuing the lives of others above ourselves, valuing the goodwill of others above ourselves. We talk about elevating something with which we may not benefit above the things that we will benefit from. And that takes some work. It takes some practice. It takes some failure. I've been down that road. I think we all have, where we've tried to express love to someone, care for someone, and only to be disappointed with the outcome. What did that produce? Do you have scars of love? This is rhetorical, but everybody can raise their hand, because I'm sure that we all have scars. I'm sure that we all have tender parts of our heart that are sore because of the efforts we made for others that weren't received well. Now, the problem isn't the scars. The problem is when the scars prevent you from doing it again. That's the problem. Don't let what happened in the past prevent you from loving again. The scars we received loving someone unconditional. Remember, we talked about in that verse in Romans, what's it say? We're going to have sufferings, aren't we? And sufferings produce perseverance, right? The ability to get beyond the hurt, the guilt, the ability to get beyond the disappointment, the ability to move beyond the circumstances and persevere. And when we persevere, it matures us. It develops our character. It makes us stronger. It makes us more able to unconditionally love. And what's the byproduct of unconditional love? What was the first Sunday of Advent? Starts with an H, ends with an O. Just in case. I hope you understand. I try to use a limited number of letters in the words that I put up here. So that's not for you. That's for me. Hope. When we get to the point where we can unconditionally love, people have hope, because they don't feel the expectation we're placing on them to respond in a certain way. You know, you may meet him, and I hope you do. He may come up. The fellow that led me to Christ, he demonstrated this to Linda and I and our family. And I said, I can't pay you back. He says, I don't care. He says, the only thing I'm going to ask you to do is, when you have something and somebody else needs it, don't ask any questions, just give it. Now, sounds good, right? You know, he gave us a car once. Just gave me the keys to his car. So I'll go get another one, no worries. We needed a car. Now, it wasn't the greatest car in the world, but, it got me to where I needed to go, and it relieved the tension and the pain of not having it. And he went and got another one. And I said to God, I says, man, that would be neat if I could ever get to the place that I would just give my car away and just trust you to provide it. How many cars are we giving away? Over a half a dozen. God has enabled us at different times in our life to just give away one of our vehicles. not, they're not fancy, expensive vehicles there, but they were needed. They were needed. Dan knows one of the craziest, funniest stories. We came across this guy that gave a friend a vehicle, and within days of that vehicle being given, we found somebody that needed it. Okay, now we needed God's prayer on that, because Dan said, well, I'll go through it. And we had to put a starter in it, right? Yep, we had to get it. So we got a starter for it. Well, we had to get it out of the yard and down to Dan's driveway. And there was this long hill. And if you meet Jeff, just ask him about how good of a driver Pastor Don is, because there were no brakes. And Jeff goes, you really going to do this? No problem. I got this. So between using the emergency brake and releasing it and going down a hill and pumping as much as I got on the other brakes, I'm going down this hill and I got a 90 degree turn and then another 90 degree turn to get into Dan's driveway. And Jeff said, you're going in the woods. There's no way you're making that turn. And of course, it has to be a Ford Explorer that's prone to roll over. But that, we got it in your driveway, didn't we? By the grace of God, we got it in his driveway. I was just dumb enough to get behind the wheel. And we did what we could to get it roadworthy. Dan probably lost a little bit of hair and pulled his hair out on it. I know it was rusty. But he helped. We got it going. And I drove that car from Hampton, Connecticut, down to North Haven, Connecticut. And I parked it in the lot and I handed it to this lady. And, you know, that's God. And you know what? This is the funny thing. She had promised me, oh, man, I got this. I'll give it to you. I'll give you. It never materialized, but that wasn't the point. I didn't do it because of what she promised. Now, think about that a little bit in a nutshell. How much do we promise God? How much do we say, God, if you do this for me, I'm going to give you back, right? And how easy do we forget once we receive? Unconditional love is a tough thing. It's not an easy thing. And it causes scars, doesn't it? It causes, just reflect on that. Just reflect.
She put up the tree, stockings 1, 2, 3. They all know one is missing. It's been a whole year without him right here. Won't be the same kind of Christmas. Some years it's wonder and lights in the sky. Some years it's okay to cry. In your silent night, when you're not alright, lift your eyes and behold him. Feel the thrill of hope, you are not alone. In this moment, behold him. December 23rd, 4 months out of work, and the bills just keep coming. Trying to stay strong, he wonders how long he'll come home empty handed. In every prayer that you lift to the sky, in every tear that you cry, thank you. the good of hope. You are not alone in this moment. Behold it, King forevermore. Come, let us adore Christ our Savior. Behold it, feel the good of hope. We are not alone in this moment. Behold.
Do you think Christ didn't know what it meant to come? Do you think he didn't know the pain? Do you think he didn't know the scars? He knew. And what is his response? He came, right? Step back. I don't think I was on. Most important words in Scripture, two of them. He came. How does that affect us? How do we look at that and say, that's love? That should inspire us to do what? Two words, even shorter. Four letters. It should inspire us to what? To go. It should inspire us to meet people where they are and to touch their life with the love of Christ. He knew, but he came. For us, to encourage us. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. Are you sure it's finished? If it's finished, what do you have the capability to do? Four-letter word starts with L, ends with love. Oh, excuse me. I gave you the answer. Jeez. What does it give us the capability to do? Without condition. Does it matter how they respond? Absolutely not. Not if our motive is what? The love. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God. What does that mean? You cannot love somebody unconditionally if you don't know Jesus Christ is your Lord and Savior. Okay? It's impossible. It's not possible to demonstrate unconditional love if you do not know the love of God. And who has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through him. How many people are living? Raise your hand if you're living. No, we're alive, but are we living? Or are we just surviving? Or are we just trying to get through the day? Are we just trying to make it through the day, or are we living? Does anybody care about tomorrow? We shouldn't. Why? Because there ain't any of us that are guaranteed tomorrow. There isn't any of us that know if tomorrow's coming. Right? So don't let tomorrow be a reason to stop you from touching somebody's life today. Don't sit there and say, well, you know, I may need that tomorrow. If you need it tomorrow, guess who's going to be there to take care of it? God, right? It's a process that we have to learn, because that's not the way we're made. And if we watch the world and the media around us, they tell us to think differently, don't they? It says he sent his one and only son into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us. And he sent his son as an atoning sacrifice for our sins. Dear friends, since God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No one has ever seen God. But if we love one another, God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. Who have you showed Jesus to this season, this holiday season? Because they're not going to see it anywhere else. What does Charlie Brown say? Christmas doesn't come and a Christmas tree or, oh no, that's that other guy. Who's that guy? The Grinch. Right? He figured out that Christmas didn't come and all the wrappings and the trappings and all the bells and the whistles and the fancy bulbs and everything, did he? What did he figure out? Right here. Christmas is kept in your heart. It says God lives in us and his love is made complete in us. One of the most difficult things to grasp is the love that God has for us. How can he love me? How is that possible? And the enemy keeps reminding you of all the reasons why God shouldn't love you. And the enemy keeps reminding us of all our shortcomings. It says he can't possibly love you. And God says, I took care of that. That's done and gone. The cross took care of it. There's nothing that separates us. Nothing. First off, we've done nothing to deserve it. That is difficult for us to understand. Why is that? Because we live in a world that doesn't provide love / value to each other unless we earn it. How old are you?
Slip by. They make money the old-fashioned way. They earn it.
Remember that commercial? We do not attach value to things we have not earned. That's the reality of who we are. That's what we have to get over. That's what we have to get past, to love people unconditionally. Because we expect others to earn our love. What did you do to deserve my love? What's in it for me? What do I get if I love you? What do I get back? What did God say? Well, I want you to do this. I want you to do. No, he didn't, did he? It's a gift. It's a gift. It's a gift. And the joy that I received by watching you open the gift, that's all. That's enough. And even if you're not joyful, even if you don't receive it with joy, it's okay. Because all I wasn't asked to, for the response, I was asked to give the gift. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one. And if you notice, I'm not reading the same verse over again. This is in the scripture several times. God demonstrated his love to us when he sent his son, his one and only son, into the world that we might live through him. This is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his son as an atoning sacrifice. Love was initiated by God to atone for our shortcomings. Don't let anybody tell you anything different. Yes, we all have shortcomings. Yes, we all fall short of the glory of God. God took care of that. Don't let your shortcomings be an excuse for you not to show the love of God to somebody else. That's a lie. And don't listen to that voice that's telling you it's true, because it's not true. God has overcome all our shortcomings. What we were powerless to do, God did for us. Let me just back up. What we were powerless to do. How many of us can be good enough to stand before a righteous God? Raise your hand if you can be good enough. Can't. Why? because we have an infinite capacity to sin. We can sin and sin a little more and sin a little more. And we even have a phrase we banter around when we want to top somebody else. I'll hold my beer. Watch this. Right? We can just keep going, can't we? If we have an infinite capacity to sin, we need an infinite capacity of goodness to cover that. We don't possess an infinite capacity of goodness. I'm gonna challenge y'all today. Leave here and write down the time this afternoon. You may not even get home yet, but write down the time this afternoon your goodness disappears. Okay? You're tragic getting out on the street here, and you might lose your goodness before you lose the parking lot. Okay? We don't have an infinite capacity for goodness, but we do have an infinite capacity for sin. So that makes us powerless. We can't atone for it, but Christ can, and God took care of it. For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whosoever believes in him shall not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. Don't listen to people who tell you you're not good enough. Don't listen to the enemy that tells you you're not good enough, and don't listen to other people who tell you you're not good enough. Because God didn't send his Son to condemn the world. Guilt and shame don't belong to God. They belong to the enemy. They're not tools that God uses to convince you to do what's right. Okay? Guilt and shame have nothing to do with what God wants you to do. He's taken care of that. It's done. You're forgiven. Now go and do what I move you to do. God's desire is for his creation to live with him. That is what he created us for, fellowship with him. He did not create us to condemn us or punish us. We choose to do that on our own. We do. How many people are good at beating themselves up? How many people are good at telling you you're no good, telling yourself you're no good, you're not worth it, you're not worthy, look at me, look at the thoughts in my head, look at what I do. Right? We're good at that, aren't we? That's not God. That's ourselves. We do that to ourselves. God didn't. If God's word says he isn't condemning us, what does that mean? Is it true? There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. Right? It's in there. That's what it says. That's what it means. Don't let anybody tell you any different. Only one thing can separate us from the love of God. Free will. That's it. A choice that God gave us. God does not desire that we're separated from him, but he does not force us to have a relationship with him. He made the sacrifice that was necessary to remove any obstacle that we put in place that separates us. We, however, can still choose to be estranged from God. I used a big word there. We can choose to be separated from God. We can choose to be at odds with God. We can choose not to accept the gift that he gave for the forgiveness of our sins. That's not his choice. That's our choice. That does not mean that God does not love us. It means that we refuse to receive the gift that he offers. We discard the sacrifice of Jesus. We devalue what Christ did on the cross for us. We say it's worthless. It's worth nothing. I can earn salvation. I can be good enough. We did a service here yesterday for Skip, and I share with people it was a blessing because Skip had made a decision to accept Christ as his Lord and Savior. And it had nothing to do with the way he lived his life. I can tell you that. He's not with us because of the choices he made and the way he lived his life. But it's difficult to do a service when somebody has chosen not to receive the gift. Where's the comfort? Where's the mercy? How can you encourage? We feel somehow that we do not need a relationship with him. That's the definition of being lost. When we talk about being lost, that's what it means. We must receive the gift that God offers us out of love for us. We must put the corrupt desires of our old self to death and live through the guidance of the love of God manifested in Jesus. I have been crucified with Christ and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I live, in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Put your old life to death and enjoy the new life that you have in Christ. Because you didn't earn it the old-fashioned way. It was a gift. It was a gift from God. Our lives become not our own, but a life lived for the benefit of others. A life lived abundantly guided by the faith and trust we have in God. Amen?
Amen.
So what shall we do? How shall we respond? John's got an idea for us. What's it say? Read it together for me. Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God and knows God. Whoever does not love does not know God, because God is love.